and welcome to this episode of Crop Talk. I'm your host, Thad Stauffer, and joining me once again are Lucas Conmey, Jason Gama, and Tom Timko, who are the state insurance product officers with Compeer Financial. Guys, it's good to be with you again today. For our listeners, we are still in that social environment, struggling with COVID-19, but we are still plugging forward and being able to do what we need to do to serve our customers. And such for our customers, we wanted to cover a few topics here today, and that is prepping you for the rest of these summer months. We're going to cover reviewing your schedule of insurance. We're going to touch on potentially early harvest and what that means for yields. We're going to take time to talk about 2021 pricing opportunities. Yes, I'm talking 2021. And then we'll wrap up our discussion with a margin protection discussion, which is a policy that many farmers may not know much about, but want to make sure we start educating today. All right, gang. Well, listen, since we are still virtual, I can see everybody. Good to see you. Our first topic is reviewing the schedule of insurance. Lucas, when we think about the schedule of insurance, if you would, walk through with our listeners what they should be concerned with or thinking about as it relates to the schedule of insurance they should be getting back from their agent here in the coming weeks.
Sure. Thanks, Thad. If you have a crop insurance policy, in the next few weeks, you're going to get your schedule of insurance in the mail. And if you don't get it, you should get it. So if your agent isn't mailing it to you, make sure you're looking for that document. And the schedule of insurance is, to me, my opinion, the most important crop insurance document that you're going to get, and the one that I want to make sure that everyone opens and takes a look at. So if you get a map-based schedule of insurance page by page on the map, it's going to be color-coded. Corn usually yellow, beans usually a blue or green, and any other crops you have could be a different color. But it's very important that you go through those pages and make sure everything looks right. I say start with the crop. Make sure if a field's yellow of corn, make sure that that's a cornfield, and make sure that the bean fields are where they're supposed to be. So this is the one chance you have to match up what you planted with what your insurance lies. One reason I really like this kind of insurance too is because of that color codes. So a lot of people look at their FSA maps, and we have, you have by field what's written on there. But when you get those colors, the things really jump out. And so we catch a lot of mistakes, a lot of errors. Everyone's human. Could have been an FSA error, could have been an agent error, or just the farmer got their wires crossed and wrote down the wrong crop in the wrong field. So review that document. I can't stress enough. It's very important. When I talk to farmers that I still work with, I tell them that's the one document I want them to open, if any of them, to make sure that's right. Because if that's not right and we go farther down the line and we get into a claim situation, we're going to have problems if there's mistakes on there. So if you open it right away, take a look at it, there's a good chance we can get things corrected, or at least we can plan ahead if we can. Other things you can do with that schedule of insurance is it lets you know how many bushels you have insured, so you could potentially market off those bushels. You can figure out what your guarantee is as far as the price loss. But those are, that document is very important for you to check, and I can't stress enough, if you open one document that you get in the mail from your crop insurance person, let that be the one. Make sure everything looks correct. If fields are off tenths of an acre, not too big of a deal, but still call your crop insurance agent. If something doesn't look right, don't be afraid to call your crop insurance person and talk through it. Make sure you're on the same page. I can't stress that enough, and it's going to be very important, if we have any type of loss situation, that document is correct.
Appreciate that, Lucas. That's good to kick off that conversation. You mentioned a couple different times the importance of reviewing that document in kind of preparation for potentially changes or claims. Jason, if you don't mind, I know you've got that claims background that's been very helpful for the other conversations we've had over the last year on our podcast here. Talk with our listeners a little bit about what that means to what Lucas talked about, making a change, finding an error, potentially a claim. Just kind of walk us through that from a high level perspective.
Yeah, thanks, Thad. So as Lucas mentioned, and this happens every year, if you don't check that schedule of insurance and we don't catch that error now, then the next time that it most likely will be caught is in a loss situation when the adjuster's out there finalizing or working that claim. And the problem there is we can't increase liability on your policy once a claim is present. So we can always decrease liability. If we reported too many acres, we could reduce that down. If we reported 100% share and it's really 50-50, we could reduce that liability, but we can't increase it at loss time when a loss is present. Right now, across our territory, things look pretty good. Of course, we're just getting into tassel and silk stage. Ear development has not really happened yet. So if they were going to go out and do an appraisal, the AIP today, they would just be counting plants in a lot of cases. So we're still in a good spot is my point. But we go much further down the road and a loss situation may present itself, and then we're locked out of increasing liability or making some of those revisions. A topic that has been pretty hot with us this year is the fact that RMA did give us some leniency on making revisions to that schedule of insurance. What we asked for was just to extend the acreage reporting date from July 15th to August 15th, and we did not get that done. The acreage reporting date stayed July 15th for RMA, for your crop insurance, but they did give us a little longer tail to make revisions because we know that FSA has extended their date another 30 days, and a lot of our crop insurance reporting is done by that FSA 578. So we do have some more time to make revisions. So let's talk through those revisions just for a bit. We've always had 30 days after July 15th to make revisions as long as it's not in a loss situation. This year they gave us another 30 days on top of that. So essentially we have until September 15th to make revisions to acres, share, practice type, variety, that sort of thing. But the rule still applies that it can't be in a loss situation to make those changes, at least to increase liability. A couple other caveats with that is to be able to increase liability, they have to go out. First of all, we have to be made aware that there is an issue. We've got to get a revised acreage report signed by you, the customer. But then the AIP is going to send an adjuster out to verify whether it's in a loss situation or not. They're going to do that in the form of an appraisal. And as long as the appraisal meets 90% of the yield that's used to figure out your guarantee, they'll go ahead and make that change. In other words, it's not in a loss situation. Also, with that, there was clarification given that the adjuster only has to appraise the revision acres. So if we had a 100-acre field or an 80-acre field and the revision was we left 10 acres off, it really should have been 90 instead of 80. The AIP is only going to come out and look at that 10 acres that we're adding, not the entire field. In the past, they would have to go out and appraise the entire field. So a little bit of a efficiency gained there. They only have to look at the acres that are being revised. And also, if they're very small acres, revisions, like Lucas mentioned there, a couple tenths here or there, if that revision is less than 10% of the field acres or less than 10 acres, whichever is less of those two, then they don't have to do an appraisal at all. The AIP has the leverage to go ahead and make that revision without doing an appraisal. So Thad, that's a little bit of what's happening out there in the real world at this point.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think it's important, too, for our listeners. You mentioned FSA and how the documents they provide through the 578, those maps are often a piece of the process that we're looking at and can compare information from. I think it's important for our listeners, too, to understand, too, from a crop insurance perspective, those FSA numbers do not have to match. For a number of years, being in the business as long as we all have been, that's been a common thing that we typically have seen and done from agents is leveraging the 578 and ensuring those match. But the important thing for our listeners, and obviously 2020 reporting is done, but as we move forward to the next sales closing date of fall sales for September 30th and into 2021, it's important to remember, you always report what you planted, right? With precision technology, that's important. In some cases, the FSA maps don't always show waterways and trees. So I think that the takeaway from the information you shared, I wanted to add to the context of this conversation is always report what you planted and don't be afraid to do that. And your agent can work with you to make sure that gets done. I also want to just mention real quickly before we kind of transition to some other discussion, contact your agent right away and get that process started anytime you find an error. So let's, Jason, if we would, let's stay with you for a little bit here and talk a little bit about an early harvest you'd mentioned throughout the Compere territory. We've got corn that has tasseled, is already silking in a lot of areas, so could be an early harvest. If we do have this early harvest, or whenever harvest does end up happening, what should we be considering as producers in an early harvest situation?
Yeah, thanks. So crops really across our area are looking pretty good. With the early planting that took place, we had that window early on that we did not get in 2019, where 80% plus of the crop got in. So that's where a lot of the early harvest potentially may come from, is the crop got in the ground relatively easy and early this year for the most part. There's some pockets, of course. Then we've had a very hot June, which really pushes that crop to quickly get to maturity. So I've just been amazed driving around fields around here by home how fast that crop went from fifth, sixth leaf all the way to tassel, extremely fast. I had some worry that some drought situations would fall in place. However, we've gotten some rain in the last 10 days to 2 weeks as well here, at least in central Illinois, and I know into Wisconsin and Minnesota has gotten the same. So crop is looking good at the moment. So all signs point to an early harvest. Our recommendation or reminder is just simply to not wait around. Once you get in and get that ground to start harvesting, go ahead, contact your agent, get those yields turned in so that we can be doing some calculations for you to figure out whether you have a loss or not. Obviously, a revenue protection policy has yield and price protection. We won't get the price until really that first week of November, but we don't have to wait until then. We can get your yields and start that process, get claims opened up, all of the above, so that when prices get announced there, 1st of November, not much time is spent. We can start cutting checks. The AIPs, I should say, could start cutting checks to you guys.
Let me jump in quick. Yeah, to just follow up on what Jason said, you know, when you have a good crop, you may not be in a hurry to report your acres to your agent, or sorry, your production to your agent. But we are, you know, we've talked about in other podcasts, we have time restraints when we can get those claims open. And, you know, in a year like this with good crop, most likely any losses we're going to be looking at are those revenue losses. And so we really are in time constraints. So don't hesitate, even though if you have a good crop, get those yields in so we can make sure that there isn't a price loss there.
Yeah, and it's an important point, Lucas, to piggyback to that for our listeners, and that is the other piece there is that report of your production really kickstarts the 2021 crop insurance cycle, if you will, because we will use that information from the 2020 harvest to start and generate our quotes for policies in the spring of 2021. So it's an important piece, and as we talk with our team internally, the sooner we can gather the information from you, the producer, the quicker we can get that into the different systems of the AIPs we work with, which then automatically feeds, you know, our internal tools we have to share information on the different products that are out there. So good stuff there. Tom, you've been quiet, and being a resident farmer, let's talk with our listeners about, we talked about 2021. Let's talk to our listeners about 2021, things they could be doing today to look really a year in advance of that crop that hasn't even been planted. What should our customers be considering or talking to their agents about right now?
Yeah, and just a big high level. It's like maybe change the way we think a little bit. A lot of us don't have old crops sold. Maybe don't even have 2020 new crops sold, and now we're asking you to think about 2021. But you know what? It's one of those things, if we look at 2021 futures today, we're about 366, it looks like. And if you were to back off a week or 10 days ago before prices dropped, we got as high as 378. So some of the tools and products we have allows you as a producer to go in there and lock in basically for 2021, your spring price on crop insurance early, okay? So it's an add-on tool, and you're able to say, you know what, that kind of meets my needs or expectations from a risk management viewpoint or strategy. I'm able to set a floor, and I don't know what right now prices are going to do, which we never do, but there's a lot of unknowns out there with COVID and other things that are facing us. That may very well be the right strategy for a lot of producers to do. Nobody wants to sell at a loss, but if we can put a floor on, manage our risk, and still keep the upside open, that's what some of these tools, pricing tools that we have, allow producers to do by locking in 2021, basically your spring price and crop insurance early.
Tom, let me jump in and ask you, and maybe you can shed some light on our listeners. What are some of the more popular concepts that we can use or strategies we can use right now to kind of set that floor you talked about?
Yeah, and so speaking of the tools that we have, if that's what we're talking about, and I can allude to some of the other ones as well, one of the products allows you to have a look-back feature. So a day later, if the market drops, let's say it was 378 here 7-10 days ago, and it drops 10 cents the next day, you actually can go in and lock in that price from the previous day. Some of the other tools allow you to take a two-week average, which we just got done tracking a two-week average, and that two-week average is $3.72. Now, if you think about 372 or 378 today compared to the last 3 years where we've been, what, 390 or $4 futures, it doesn't get a lot of people excited. But if you're looking forward with the amount of carryover bushels we have, and yeah, the USDA gave us a little break with less planted corn acres, I get it. But there's people looking out there to put on some protection. And those are a couple tools that will work really, really well for producers that want some type of protection or floor out there early and yet still leaving the top side open.
Tom, let me put you on the spot there. Again, you live this every day, working with us, but also the farming side of it. You understand the risks. There will be a number of folks listening who may say, that's cool. Great options, but I use futures. I use strategies with my local elevator. You know, if you could kind of talk to us a little bit about the difference in those different tools that the farmer has available to him.
Absolutely. And so everybody has a different comfort level and tools they like to use from a producer standpoint. Some just like to sell cash. I do too, but it's not my favorite way to lock in prices 6 months or a year in advance. The most common ones, people like to go out there and use hedge to arrives, especially if you have storage. Hedge to arrive typical cost might be 3 to 5 cents. I can lock maybe markets in 6 to 12 months ahead of time if they're at profitable levels, right? Why not? Plus, if you get storage, you can typically roll those hedges to July, for instance, and pick up the carry in the market and hopefully give basis some time to narrow up as well. It's a good strategy. The other one is some people, and I've done this as well, is I'll go out and buy a put. And we had the opportunity to buy a put here maybe at the 360 for 2020, for example, not talking about 2021, but it works for both years. And you can also sell a call maybe 30, 40 cents out of the money to create a window, if you will, and create a cheaper price or cost to you as a producer. And there's also a lot of other marketing programs that other elevators use. And, you know, some of those might be 7 cents, 8 cents. I've seen some as high as 15 cents per bushel. And that gets a little bit pricey, and you have no guarantees as well. So it doesn't matter what tools producer want to use that. We just want them to stay profitable and manage their risk. And oftentimes when people do some hedges, sell some cash, participate in some of the programs, not all, but a lot of producers, it's a smaller percent of their total bushels. Where some of these products I just got done talking about, it's basically your entire bushels. And it's affordable and economical. And again, hopefully still leaves the top side open if markets rally. One of my favorite sayings, and I know I'm going to ramble on for a while, is you make money by selling grain at a profitable level. Can crop insurance and some of these other tools make you money? Yep. But really, if you've got some sales on, and typically 6 to 12 months in advance, and they're profitable, and maybe 50, 60, 70% of your expected production, and you've got some good risk management tools available through our crop insurance agent, and then prices drop, that's kind of the best of both worlds. All we want to do is make sure our producers know what's available to them in case the opportunity comes and want to set a floor or manage their risk.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's, for me, the takeaway to your conversation there is we're looking for opportunities to manage risk. You talked about setting that floor because, you know, what I've been reading, and I'm sure others, including our listeners, there's a lot of folks that are concerned with what prices do coming, you know, the next 6 months, especially when we get into that February average. And if you, as you mentioned earlier there, that kind of that, let's just call it 370-ish type range we're in right now. There's a cost for setting that floor, but it might be a good chance for them to get that floor locked in. And if February is higher, that's a good thing for all of us, especially them. So good things to be aware of.
Yeah, and I can give you some closing thoughts on that if you would like
that. Yeah, sure.
And those thoughts are, if you're a producer that does not do any forward marketing at all, you just put it in the bin and you're going to sell it afterwards, and you think there's some opportunities for prices to go lower, you need to take a look at these opportunities for you.
Good stuff, Tom. Appreciate that. Let's switch gears here, and let's talk a little bit about margin protection. For our listeners, margin is a policy that's been around. It started in 2017, I believe, just in the state of Iowa, but then got spread out into other states in 2018. It's a unique product. It's kind of what I call a best of both worlds from some of the products that are out there. And we could spend probably a whole podcast and just talk about margin. But Lucas, if you would, kind of give us kind of a high-level piece on margin and some things for our listeners to at least consider. And then I know within, you know, the Compeer team, we've got some other media coming out here in the near future to kind of continue to educate on margin. But for those listening at home or on the road or wherever you might be, let's give them something to think about here on margin.
Thanks, Thad. Yeah, so as Thad mentioned, margin protection has been around in our territory since 2018. And I would say, you know, my opinion is it hasn't been highly adopted in most of our Compeer territory. I would say more in Illinois than Minnesota and Wisconsin. But it's kind of a different way of thinking about crop insurance than maybe most people are used to. So margin is a county-based product, which means that the coverage isn't based on how you perform. It's based on how that county performs. So it's got a revenue piece, just like your revenue protection policy. So there's a set price times the county expected yield to get a set revenue. And then what makes it a little different than the old county products is there's an expected margin. And so they take in account different things, albeit county-based, not individual-based, your input costs, loan interest, stuff like that. I'm not going to dive into those details, but there is a margin. And so then the policy is set on the expected margin. Go through a crop year, and then you take the fall price times the actual county yield, and then if there's a difference in margin, you get a payment. So, I mean, that's real high level how the math works. But what makes margin different, one of the first things that makes margin different is it's sold in the fall. So you're buying this policy by September 30th. And so I think for a lot of people, that's been a struggle to wrap their head around, much like we're talking about the pricing opportunity that Tom touched on. You know, you're buying a policy in September when you even haven't harvested the 2020 crop. You're purchasing your 2021 insurance policy. So that's been a struggle for people to get around. But to Tom's point, you know, it's about risk management. How much risk are you covering with margin protection? One nice thing about margin, what's different than your individual policy, is margin you can cover up to 95%, and it is subsidized. So you're getting a very high subsidized product at a very high coverage level. So that's one thing that definitely makes it appealing for people to look at. And so the other concern that people have is it's county-based. Some of the new tools we had that we talked about last spring, you know, we've been able to really take a look at producer, individual producer year versus the county. And in a lot of cases, we find that those producers track well with the county, meaning that if the county has a loss, the producer has a loss. And that makes sense because, you know, the county-based data is based on that producer data. So, I mean, that makes sense in a way. Another perk to this policy is if you buy this margin protection policy, you can also buy an underlying policy, which has not been available before. So back in the day, if you bought the old GRIP policy, some people are familiar with that. That's what you had, and you didn't have any underlying prevent plan coverage or replant coverage. Well, with this policy, you can buy an underlying revenue protection policy to protect your own farm, and there's a premium credit. You're not buying a margin protection policy and your revenue policy at the full prices. You are getting a credit on your underlying. So that makes it more affordable, and we still recommend you take an underlying policy with it to protect your risk. So you have that replant prevent plant coverage to take care of it. So again, it's kind of a different way of looking at it, but again, it's looking at risk management maybe earlier than you have in the past. But you know, versus the pricing opportunities that Tom just talked about, Tom and Thad talked about, you know, this is our next pricing window. And if we do a look back to 2020, you know, margin protection, if you would have bought it last fall, had a 403 price, and obviously went through the spring and it was a little bit lower. So this is going to be our first opportunity. And if you are thinking in the lines of Tom and that we have a big carryover crop and a big crop coming, you know, this gives us this first look at a possible risk management, or a second risk management tool if you bypass the pricing opportunity. So again, it's just a product that you're going to hear, I think, a lot about this fall as an opportunity. And again, we want to make sure that our clients are aware of what's out there. And I think you'll hear insurance officers talking a lot about this product.
Thanks, Lucas. That's good. And I think for sometimes when I'm listening to a podcast and the information we just covered, that was heavy. There's a lot of information we just wrapped up into this conversation. When I think about margin and thinking differently about buying a policy now compared to February or March, the pricing piece there and how that ties into that conversation. There's a lot going on, and I want to let our listeners know and rest assured that the team here at Compeer, we have tools and resources and the knowledge to kind of wrap this all up and lay it out in a concise way to clearly, you know, educate you on these different opportunities and be that trusted advisor for you. So I think that's an important takeaway that I want to make sure in this conversation overall that we leave you with of you want answers, we've got answers, and we're there to help you from that perspective.
Producers, if we get some rallying opportunities, let's make sure we take advantage of them.
Thank you, Tom. And with that, gang, we appreciate you listening. As always, feel free to reach out to your local insurance officer for more information. If you're not already subscribed to our podcast, please go on to whatever platform you are listening to this on and subscribe. Please take time to leave us a review and a comment that helps us with content, as well as making sure we are providing listening information that is good for each of us. So with that, we look forward to talking to you again next time. Take care.